Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR, Todd Tranowski. Thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate you being along with us. It's hard to believe we're already into the middle of August. Hard to believe that we're already, it's back to school in some parts of the country already. Summer is quickly winding down. The fall will soon be upon us. Before we start this week, I want to remind everybody to put it on your calendars now to be in Indianapolis September 13th to the 16th this year. Four great days of transportation fun for the FTR Transportation Conference at the Crown Plaza Union Station. You will not want to miss it. We're back bigger, better, and in person again this year. We have four great days, one day for each of the modes. We have a day for truck and trailer equipment, a day for truck freight, a day for rail freight, and a day for rail equipment. You will not want to miss it. We have a great lineup of speakers out there for you. We have a golf outing as well. For those of you in the rail industry, we know that you very much like golf. We've added that this year. Compliments of our friends out at Greenbrier. We thank them for sponsoring that, being a part of this great event, this great networking opportunity for folks in the rail industry. Do come out, do register, do be a part of that. For all of the information, all the details, see the great lineup of speakers we have set out for you, go to www.ftrconference.com. You can get everything you need to know there. You can register right from that page. But do put it on your agenda to about a month from now, be in Indianapolis. You will want to be there. You want to enjoy that, all that great content, all that great networking that's going to happen in Indianapolis just next month. And with that, let's jump into this week. Let's talk about where the volumes are. And overall, not much has changed. It's a pretty quiet summer, pretty much the status quo for volumes as we go forward in time. Though we are slowly losing ground as we go forward here. We are slowly losing ground relative to the five-year average, and there remains a lot of uncertainty out there, whether around service, whether around labor. Personally, we don't see service really making any kind of a meaningful improvement in performance until the second quarter of next year. So that's a long time. That'll be nearly 3 years that we're working through these issues over service and how to best move goods. If you're a shipper with the service where it is, you definitely are going to are dealing with it and are going to have, probably continue to deal with it for the foreseeable future over the next several quarters. But dragging into volumes, intermodal volumes, it took a little bit of a step down in the last week. We're below last year. We're well below the five-year average, about 3, 4, 5% below the five-year average. So a significant amount, an amount that there is demand to move. There is demand in the marketplace. You look at import numbers. You look at consumption numbers. The demand is out there, but it's not moving by intermodal. It's moving other ways, and that's because there are caps in there. There is congestion, whether it's at the ports, whether it's at the inland rail terminals. All of those issues are coming home to roost. Chassis availability, rail overall performance, they're holding back this number, and they continue to do so as we go through the balance of the year. The domestic trailer market was really pretty steady over the last month. We bounced back from the July 4th holiday, and then we've just sort of stayed right here in 16, 17,000 or so trailers a week, and we just continue to ride at that level. We're no longer going down the way we were during much of the second quarter. We're just sort of holding our own there. Now, we're well below last year, about a quarter below where we were this time last year, even more than that, lower than the five-year average, but we have essentially reset to 2019 levels in the trailer market, back before the pandemic, back before COVID-19 became a household word We're basically resetting to where we were before that point. Switching gears, looking at the container market. Containers ticked down in the last week, down below their five-year average. Just a little bit, ever so slightly above last year's levels in the container market, but not by much. Things are just sort of holding their own. If you averaged out the last 4 weeks of volumes, it'd be a pretty flat line. It would look like a dead cardiac patient, really. You would bounce back from the 4th of July, and then you would just sort of hold there, right around 326,000 carloads a week without really much movement at all in the container market one way or the other. So it is, in a lot of ways, where we are overall as a rail industry from a volume perspective. We are sort of stuck in neutral. We're not really going anywhere particularly fast. We're just sort of staying right where we are, right around those 325,000 or so carload number on the intermodal side. Switching gears to carload, and it's essentially the same picture. When you look at the last 4 weeks, yes, we had a little bit of a bump last week, but overall, it has been very, very flat. We gave back all of last week's bump in the latest week. We're essentially right at last year's level. If you look at the gray bars, you can hardly see a little bit of a decline from last year, but it's really infinitesimal. You really have to squint at it to see it. And so we are essentially right in line with last year, but that's not a great number. We need to remember that. Yes, we're par with last year, but that is still, you know, 5, 6, 7% below the five-year average, and it's been that way for much of 2022 in the carload space. We have not seen any sort of upward momentum, any sort of growth. We've heard growth a lot at recent conferences, recent events, recent earnings calls. There's been a lot of discussion around the growth. Well, we're not seeing it. When we look at the numbers, we're not seeing it, whether it's on a market share basis, whether it's on an absolute basis, we're just not seeing it. In fact, we're seeing a little bit of the opposite story take hold. We're seeing a little bit of a continued erosion of market share away from rail toward truck and other modes. Now, the most concerning thing is that when you look at economically sensitive freight, we're actually performing a little bit weaker than the overall carload markets. Now, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Well, what do we see? Well, we see that things are just sort of, again, stuck in neutral. We're just sort of very close to last year, below the five-year average, just sort of bouncing around. Normally, you'd see a little bit of an acceleration this time of the year. We're not really seeing any sign that that's going to happen. We're not really seeing the peak season. If you're a subscriber, if you read the Intermodal Report's commentary for the last month, you hear, you know, we talked about the peak season that wasn't, the peak season that isn't. That we're going to go forward into here, we believe. We believe that we're not going to see a meaningful change in volume, and that goes well on the carload side. Normally, you see a significant uptick in harvest volumes. You see a significant uptick in coal volumes. You see a significant uptick in other commodity types as we go through the fall period. We don't expect to see that this year. We don't expect to see any sort of momentum. Certainly, it's less pronounced on the carload side, but we don't even expect to see that. Looking at coal, we declined a little bit in the last week. We're down a little bit from last year. We're down significantly from the five-year average. We've been down relative to the five-year average for all but 1 week of 2022. No real surprise there. But we are starting to see maybe a little bit of weakening. We are past the peak of summer in a lot of places in the Midwest and in Texas, which are major PRB coal burning regions. And so as we get into the shoulder season, as we move toward fall, we move toward September, October, there's less electricity demand out there. There's less demand to have every unit online all the time. That's going to hold back coal volumes as we go through the back half of the year. The question will be, 2023 has an awful lot of coal-fired power plants coming offline. As those come offline, as we get to the back half of the year, what's the inventory situation like at those plants, and how do those owners take care of things as we go forward? That is something that we're going to have to work our way through, and it's something that's going to be a headwind to coal volumes second half of this year, but certainly in 2023, certainly as we go forward. On the grain side, grain continues to be weak. It moved down significantly in the latest week. We're down well off the five-year average. We are essentially in line with last year's, a little bit above, but not terribly so. But ultimately, grain has been disappointing for much of the year. Now, we expect a better harvest season this year. We expect Canada to have a normal harvest in particular. We expect to see a normal harvest bounce here. Certainly, we hope so. But given the way grain has performed for much of 2022, we're almost in a Missouri mentality about it. We're in a show-me mentality, if you will, until we see volumes actually show up, actually materialize. Chemicals traffic, getting back into the economically sensitive categories. Chemicals traffic right at last year's levels, essentially, and just ever so slightly above the five-year average, though, moving around a little bit, but ultimately it's been very consistent for all of 2022, right between 46 and 47,000 carloads a week, and we don't really see that changing very much as we go forward. Petroleum products loadings have come down significantly over the last month. We saw a little bit of pop right after the 4th of July. We saw a pop out of the range that we had held for most of the post-pandemic period, up near 22,000 carloads a week. That has come back. We've come back into the range fairly significantly, fairly quickly. There's not much movement sequentially in the latest week, and we're just hanging out right in that 19 to 21,000 carload a week range that we've had for most of the pandemic. We're right at the five-year average, right at last year. No real direction one way or the other in petroleum products. Stone, sand, and gravel has been a bright spot on the carload side. It has performed very well. It's been in the black for most of 2022, all but a couple of handful of weeks there. It's been in the black compared to 2021. Now, it has not yet gotten back to its five-year average. In the last week, we made our biggest run to the five-year average that we've seen in some time in stone, sand, and gravel. So certainly, the non-metallic mineral space, the crushed stone space, leading the way, being one of those bastions of hope for continued volume growth as we go through the balance of 2022 and beyond. Lumber and wood took a pretty significant step down in the latest week, but it basically came back to where it was right at the July 4th holiday. We're right around 6,000 carloads a week. We've had some volatility over the last month, but ultimately, when you average it all out, it's been a pretty flat number. If you were to look on a four-week basis, you'd be right about 6,200 carloads a week without much change, much movement at all. We're down below the five-year average in lumber and wood, and we'll have to see what happens as we go through the balance of the year. Much has been written about the housing market, about mortgage rates, and about what that could mean or will mean for the lumber and wood markets. We think a lot of that is in place. We think that housing is going to be a headwind to lumber volumes over the next 6 months. And beyond, we expect that to continue. We expect that to be something that's a sector that is challenged as we go through the balance of the year. Speaking of sectors that are challenged, pulp and paper. Another one, we saw a big bump 2 weeks ago. We gave a bit of it back in the latest week. We continue to run at low levels. We're continuing to be well off last year, well off the five-year average, and this is a sector we've talked sort of ad nauseum over the summer and in the spring about the challenges that this sector is going to face coming out of the pandemic, and we expect that to continue. We don't expect that to change in any meaningful way as we go through the next 6 to 9 months. Automotive volumes have been pretty stable, down a little bit sequentially, but really just holding their own between last year's levels and the five-year average. So nothing really to write home about. Pretty stable, but we have not seen a resolution of the automotive industry's supply chain issues. We have not seen volumes bust out or break out above that five-year average level in any meaningful way. And we don't expect we're going to see that for another couple of quarters. We think that's, again, a 2023 phenomenon. We've talked to a lot of folks in the automotive industry, and every time we try to get a date about when it's going to be resolved, that date continues to push out further. So again, sort of like we talked about with grain, we're in a sort of a show-me mentality. We're going to wait, and we're going to see exactly what happens there. Because one of the risks now is that as production ramps up, what is the consumer situation? Inflation has taken a bite out of household balance sheets. It continues to do so. What does that mean for consumers' appetite to spend once production gets up and running? Have we passed the point where pent-up demand is going to carry us when production issues get resolved? We don't really know. It feels a little bit softer than maybe it did 3 months ago or 4 months ago. It's not as certain as we go forward in time. So some key takeaways on the volume front: carload volumes, intermodal volumes, a little bit of weakness, a little bit of counter-seasonal weakness as we head into August. It seems like things are not not even keeping pace with where they were earlier in the year. That we're losing some ground, we're losing some traction, losing some momentum as we go through the next several months. And as we look forward, we're going into the hardest operating season over the winter. We've got service and labor uncertainty over the coming months that we'll have to work through and navigate both at the ports and on the Class 1 railroads. These are things that are going to take time to work through and going to take time to deal with from a volume perspective. But hopefully we will, and by the time we get to November, December, we'll have a much clearer picture of what it looks like as we head into 2023. And with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us this week, taking time out of their busy schedule to listen to the Rail Market Update podcast. We do appreciate you. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you have questions about the market, questions about what you hear in the podcast, what you see in the reports, what you're seeing in your business. When we get up in the morning to have these conversations about transportation and the rail industry, feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear what's happening in your business, talk about what you're seeing in the marketplace as we go forward, as we navigate together these uncertain times as we go forward here. And with that, have a great week. As always, I am your host, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR, Todd Trinowski. Thank you for joining us this week. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.